Man. Well, whoever I am, I'm glad to be here. But I do appreciate Victory Baptist Church and what y'all do. Days are refreshing. And, of course, the moderator, Brother Ronnie. Amen. No, I'm joking. But it is good to be here. If you have a copy of God's Word, go ahead and open it up to the book of 2 Samuel, chapter number 9. 2 Samuel, chapter number 9. If you'll listen fast, I'll be done fast. Amen. 2 Samuel chapter number 9. J. Vernon McGee records this as one of the most beautiful passages of Scripture found in the whole Bible. And I have to agree with him. It is a beautiful story of God's amazing grace. And I want to give you just a few thoughts this morning. I won't take too long. 2 Samuel chapter number 9, verse number 1. The Bible says, "And David said, is there any yet of the house of left of the house of Saul that I may show kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was a there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called unto him, David, the king said unto him, art thou Ziba? And he said, thy servant is he. And the king said, is there not any left of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son which is lame on both his feet. And the king said unto him, where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lodibar. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lodibar. Now Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, which was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth. And he said, and he answered, behold thy servant. And David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely show kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. And he bowed himself and said, what is thy servant thou shouldest look upon a dead dog as I am? Then the king said unto Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I have given unto all thy master's sons all that pertain unto Saul for and to all his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread alway at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, according to all my lord, the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah, and all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem and did eat bread continually at the king's table, and was lame on both his feet. It's mentioned four times in the past few verses towards the end of the chapter about the table. I want to share just a very simple thought this morning on how I got to the table. Would you pray with me? Lord, what a joy it is to be in your house this morning, Father. Father, I'm unworthy to stand behind, Lord, this pulpit, and Lord, I pray that you would bless. Father, I don't want it to be about me, but God, ultimately, I want it to be about you. Father, I realize we have people in here this morning who could be lost. Father, there's maybe some this morning who is discouraged or backslidden or whatever their condition may be. Lord, I pray that you'd meet them. And Father, would you help us to preach? Lord, would you touch my mouth, Lord, my body? Help me to be a vessel to you. Forgive me of my sin and where I failed you. Lord, help us lift up the name of Jesus, because Father, he is worthy this morning. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for calling me to preach. Thank you for this opportunity. Bless it in Jesus Christ's name I pray, by his shed blood. Amen. How I got to the table. It's mentioned in this passage, of course, it shows where Mephibosheth is introduced to us. Mephibosheth is the son of Jonathan. And due to time limit, of course, I don't have time to go back and read you what it says about Mephibosheth. But, of course, Jonathan and David had a covenant together. Of course, Jonathan's daddy, Saul, was a wicked, wicked man. And Saul wanted to kill David. And of course, Jonathan to take the throne. And Jonathan went out and told him, he said, look, he said, my dad's wanting to kill you. And when he makes the plan to come and try to take your life, I'm going to let you know. And so anyways, Jonathan heard about his dad's plan, went to David, and said, look, my dad's wanting to kill you. And so David flees, he saves his life. Years later, of course, Saul is killed, Jonathan's killed, and of course, David is anointed to be king, and he is king. So now what we see in the passage, of course, is that it's just very, very early in the term of David's start as king, and we see that he's wanting to fulfill a promise that he made to his friend Jonathan. He hears that he has a son, and if we look at it and we find some similarities of ourselves in Bible passages, I think I could very much compare to Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth has nothing to offer. He is not of great value. We would look at him and say, man, he's not worth a whole lot. But man, the king thought he was worth a whole lot to come and seek him and find him. And so what we see in this passage is that somehow this lame man, somehow this poor man ended up at the table with the king. And my friend, may I remind you the similarities this morning? We all ain't worth nothing outside of Jesus Christ. We're not worth anything else. We're just dust this morning. But with Jesus Christ, there is value. With Jesus Christ, there is eternal life. With Jesus Christ, there is hope. My friend, may I remind you of something this morning? If we make it to heaven, it's only going to be by the grace of God. And when we get there, it's going to be simply because of the simple fact. It's going to be because of the King. But may I remind you of this, you ain't getting to heaven by yourself. I don't get through this Christian life by myself. It takes some help. It takes the people of God coming together like we're doing this week, coming together, worshiping and encouraging each other to live for God. May I remind you of this, we're all the family of God this morning. We much encourage each other to continue to live for God. So as a typical Baptist preacher, I want to give you 3 points this morning to support my thoughts. How I got to the table. Number one, how did I get to the table? It's because of the kindness of a king. The kindness of a king. Look here in verse number one. And David said, is there any left of the house of Saul that I may, what? Show him kindness. Boy, aren't you glad this morning that we serve such a kind king? And during this time and age, of course, the king would take his throne and he would come in. He would kill all the remainder of that previous king's family. They would be wiped out, killed, destroyed. And what David does, he gives a type of Christ and he comes in. And he says, oh no, I'm not coming to destroy, but I've come to save. And so he goes out and he seeks Mephibosheth and he brings him in. And we see, number one, there's a saving kindness. Mephibosheth is a dispeller of shame. That's his, basically the definition of his name. He does not have any profit, of course, to give David. It's a saving kindness. We see, of course, that he does great work in the life of Mephibosheth. We begin to see Mephibosheth's life. Of course, we see that potentially he could have all the riches of the kingdom, but he's in poverty. His stand, it became his fall. He's lame. His ease became his struggle. His security became his insecurity. We see that his comfort became his pain. His destiny became his destruction. His mountaintops turned into deserts and valleys. Saul's home was in Geba, which means the hill. Mephibosheth ended up in Lodibar, which means the place of no pasture. It was a place of barrenness. It typifies this, what was happening in his life. I don't know about you, my friend, but may I remind you of this. If it's not for the king, we're not saved this morning. It's because of the kindness of the king. We see, of course, Scripture respects this, of course, his points. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 8, for by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is of the gift of God, the kindness of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. My best, your best this morning is not going to get us to heaven. We're not good this morning. There is no man good. But thank God there is a God that's good. Thank God there's a king that's kind this morning. May I remind you, my friend, there's a saving kindness there, but also a searching kindness. David, of course, goes from the palace all the way down to Lodibar, maybe the lowest place around that area. He goes to Lodibar in the low places of life. My friend, aren't you glad this morning that Jesus has gone to the low places of life to search and to find us? I can remember the day that God saved my soul. I wasn't looking for God, but I praise His name that He was looking for me. I didn't have no desire to get saved. I remember the Lord speaking to my heart and doing a great work in my life and convicting me of my sin. And He saved me that day and changed my life forever. It's a searching kindness. But also we see it's a securing kindness. Look at verse number 9. Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I had given all unto the master's son that pertained to Saul and his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread. What's always? What a blessed thing that is this morning to realize this. Once I've been born into the family of God, once God has saved my soul, once the Lord has done that work of eternal salvation, I am resting in His hands forever and forever and forever. Our idea of eternity this morning, I believe Spurgeon did say it best. He says, now we all know what eternal means. However, none of us can form the idea of eternity which can fully grasp endless duration. You only know this that it has no end and therefore cannot ever cease to be. If anybody said that he had eternal life and lost it, he will be flatly contradicting himself. It will not be eternal or else he will not still have it. If it is eternal, it is eternal. And there is no end to it. And thus there is no end to life in Christ. So may I remind you this morning, once you become into the family of God, into the kingdom of God, there is no end of it. There is no ceasing their relationship with the king. Which, you know what that means for Mephibosheth? It means simply this. He's eating with the king every single day of his life. You know what many of us do? We don't eat with the king. We want to go eat like with, in Luke 15, like the prodigal where he's eating with the hogs and stuff. My friend, you can eat with the king every single day of your life. I just want to take a moment and say thank God for the kindness of a king. But now I move on. Of course, we see the faithfulness of a friend. The faithfulness of a friend. Look here what it says in the passage. We see back in 1 Samuel chapter number 20, if you're taking notes, you can put that down. I don't have time to touch on it. But in 1 Samuel chapter number 20, we begin to see the relationship between David and Jonathan, those friends, and what God has done in their life. And anyways, God knitted them together. Of course, God had anointed David to be king of Israel. And Jonathan, of course, worldly speaking, is supposed to be the next one. But can you imagine how it is for Jonathan, how he has to let go of his pride and let go of his insecurities. He has to go ahead and accept the fact that that's God's man. What a friend Jonathan is. It's a friendship that remembers. Look at what David did. Of course, you read in verse number 1. He says, I'm going to search. I want you to go find Mephibosheth. Because I'm about to do something in his life. It's a friendship that remembers. Of course, you remember the promise that David and Jonathan made. What a great thing it is that God will remember the promise, of course, that He's made to us, that we believe and accept Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. We can have eternal life. We can have a relationship with the Father. What a great covenant. What a great promise that is. But it's also a friendship that receives. Verse number 3, and the king said, is there yet any of the house of Saul that I may show kindness and God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son, which is what? Lame on both his feet. Now I know how we want to do it as the flesh. We want to read the Bible and we want to compare ourselves to different people. Some will say, oh, I'm a David or I'm a Paul or I'm a Peter. I'm a John, whatever it is. But we see in this passage, I believe honestly, we can make the similarities between our life and Mephibosheth's life. He's lame on both his feet while his family was leaving Israel. He was dropped as a baby and lame for the rest of his life. It reminds us of the simple fact of this. There is no way, no way you will make it to heaven by yourself. You realize Mephibosheth was lame even after he met the king. Many of us, we think we have it all together just because we're in the family of God. And to be honest, God has saved us and He has cleansed us. But realize this morning, you still need some help from the king and you still need some help from the ones that serve the king. It's a friendship that remembers, it receives, but thank God it repairs. Look what it says and, of course, what David is saying to Mephibosheth. Verse number 7, of course, Mephibosheth falls down before David and he says, look, he said, I'll be your servant. Verse number 7, we see, and David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan, thy father's sake, and what were store thee all the land of Saul, thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. What David is about to do in the life of Saul, in the life of Mephibosheth, he is going to restore, he is going to repair all those things that's happened in Mephibosheth's life. all the hurt that he's had, all the pain that he's went through, all the discouragement of his life. David is about to restore all that. And may I remind you of something this morning? We need some people in our lives. We need some people to come along and help restore us and repair some things in our life. We all have things that hinder us and things that hurt us and things that we don't even want to comment about, but thank God for the people, of course, who come along and give us some encouragement, give us some help, give us some wisdom. Thank God for some friends. Someone once said, "Don't walk in front of me, I may not follow. Don't walk behind me, I may not lead. Just walk beside me, be my friend." One said, of course, a friend is one who walks in when others walk out. Let me ask you a simple question this morning. Do you really think anybody is walking into Mephibosheth's life? I mean, they pass him by and they look at him. He's lame. He's begging for money just to eat. And they would look at him and maybe make fun of him and everything else. What a awesome thing. All of a sudden, Ziba comes in, and I'm sure he introduces himself. He says, "Look, I am the servant of the Most High King of Israel, David. And look, I just want to tell you that David is looking for you, that David is wanting to repair your life, that David is wanting to restore you. He knows your daddy, and he wants to bring you in." He knew everything about Mephibosheth. He knew about his daddy. He knew about his life. He knew about his struggles. But he said, "I'm going to bring you in. I'm going to repair you. I'm going to help you. You can go ahead and sit at my table. Because don't worry about getting there. I got some servants to help you get there." Amen. And realize this morning, we worry about, of course, our destination from salvation. Of course, the glorification. But realize this morning. God has surrounded us with church members and pastors and preachers to help us get to that destination. You're not going to have to worry about the whole thing, of course, throughout the life. But just remain close to God and serve God and follow Him. Because He'll send some friends in your life. What a reminder, of course, in Scripture. Is that we have friends. A few years ago, a coach named Pepper Rogers was in the middle of a terrible season of football at UCLA. He said it got so bad at his home life. He said he walked in, he said, "My dog is the only friend that I have." He said, "I told my wife that a man needs at least two friends, a wife and a dog." And so what happened? She bought him a dog. She said, "Look, you can talk to the dog. Don't talk to me about you losing season." But aren't you glad this morning we have a friend? The Bible says that we have a friend that's sticking closer than a brother. We have a friend with us this morning who knows what it's like to be hurt, who knows what it's like to be betrayed, who knows what it's like to be lied about. But thank God, He is still with us. Last point, I'm done. We see the supply of a servant. The kindness of a king, we see the faithfulness of a friend, but lastly, we see the supply of a servant. Now, I don't have time to get into it, but we see in 2 Samuel chapter number 11, where, of course, men go out to battle, but David stays at home. David sees Bathsheba. David falls. David hurts his life and his testimony. And many times when we bring up the name of David, that's exactly what people go to and remember, that David fell and he made a mistake in his life. We go over to the next chapter and we see David's confrontation with Nathan. Nathan comes to him and, of course, gives him the illustration. He says, "Thou art the man. You're the one who have, of course, killed Uzziah, and you've killed and done all these bad things, and you've, of course, slept with his wife." So everybody basically is not David's best friend. They have turned their back on David. My, how the tables have turned, where nobody wants anything to do with Mephibosheth, but now nobody wants anything to do with David. We see in this passage, turn over to 2 Samuel chapter number 19. We see in 16 that Ziba, of course, he goes to David and he gives him all those requirements and refreshments and the cakes and everything else and gives some encouragement to him. He's the servant of Mephibosheth. But what we see in chapter number 19 is just, it's awesome. We see a transferring a position. Now that David has poured his life into Mephibosheth, Mephibosheth is pouring life back into David. Look what it says in 2 Samuel 19, verse number 24. "And Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king and had neither dressed his feet nor trimmed his beard or washed his clothes. From the day the king departed unto the day he came again in peace. And it came to pass that when he was come to Jerusalem to meet the king, that the king said unto him, Wherefore wentest thou not unto me, Mephibosheth? And he answered, My lord, O king, my servant deceived me. For thy servant said, I will saddle me an ass that I may ride thereon and go to the king, because thy servant is lame. And he said, slander thy servant unto my lord the king, but my lord the king is an angel of God. Do therefore what is good in thine eyes. For all my father's house were but of dead men. Before my lord the king, yet didst thou set thy servant among them that it eats at thine own table. What right therefore have I yet to cry any more unto the king? And the king said unto him, why speakest thou any more of thy matters? And I have said, thou and Ziba divide the land. And look at what Mephibosheth says in verse number 30. And Mephibosheth said unto the king, yea, let him take all, for as much as my lord the king is come again in peace unto his own place, to his own house. The supply of a servant. We see there's a trusted servant. Verse number 24 points out the fact that Mephibosheth was lamenting. He was depressed because he thought David had died. He thought David had been hurt. He thought David had been destroyed. He has not washed his clothes. He's not trimmed his beard. He is not a good-looking man at this time. And anyways, David comes in here thinking, what in the world's going on? What Mephibosheth was doing was a sign of loyalty. He says, I'm with you, David. Though everybody else turns their back on you, though everybody else walks out on you, though everybody else wants nothing to do with you, I am with you. The supply of a servant. Aren't you glad for those people, pastors and preachers and different ones, you pour your life into? Aren't you glad they pour life back into you at times? Aren't you glad for those people that come across your way and give you an encouragement word, give you something to help you go along on the journey of God? We see it's a trusted service, but thank God it's a thankful service. He says in verse number 30, I don't want the land, but my friend, you've been good to me. David, you've helped me. The king's helped me, and you've been a friend to me. Our relationship is all that matters. And a lot of times when we get into the Christian life, we want so much out of God. We come to Him like He's Walmart, and we try to take everything off the shelf. Oh, God, give me this. Oh, God, give me this. But you know what the point of Luke chapter number 15 is? It points to it very, very good. The elder brother, of course, he's in a place where he's hurt that his the younger brother comes home, the prodigal, and he's given all these possessions back. The father puts the robe on him and everything else. And look, the father comes to the elder brother like, why are you bitter? Why are you hurt? He says, you've had me. What a reminder in Scripture simply of this. We have the Father. We have the King. That's all we need. God is requiring servants out of us this morning. He doesn't want slaves, those who serve Him for fear. He doesn't want hirelings, those who serve Him for money and things they can get. He wants servants. He wants sons who serve Him because they love Him. Each one of us this morning, we have a simple testimony of how we got to the table. Some of us is a little more complicated than others. I'll never forget in my life, and I don't share this much, you can ask my pastor, I don't. I'll never forget a few months before I got saved. I was sat down by my parents and they began to tell me some things that I never heard before in my life. My mom, my dad sat me down and they said, look, Cody, we want to tell you something. That's this man, he ain't your father. They told me about who my dad was. Said that he had been locked up in prison. When he found out my mom was pregnant with me, he left her and did all these things. Of course, he was locked up in prison. He had made a mess of his life. My stepdad, the guy I called my dad, come in and he adopted me and he took care of me and everything else. I remember going through elementary school in my life and the way I got to the table is a complicated process. I didn't speak as good as I do today and it may not be the best. But man, God had me in speech classes. Miss Suzanne McMillan would take time with me and she would show me how to pronounce words and things I struggled with. Got to the point, even I was in it from first grade to sixth grade. I was the longest one. I was in there with some small kids thinking, man, this show ain't cool. But I remember, of course, getting done with that. And I remember God saving my soul in the fifth grade. We went and visited the Matthew Baptist Church and Brother Chip Johnson, his first church. And man, he was preaching. He was preaching hell. I saw it. He was preaching on the Good Samaritan. Somehow he got up talking about lost people. Man, he was sitting right on my case and God saved my soul that morning. Did a work in my life. I'll never forget, of course, throughout the years, my grandmother carried me to church, and she would all the time call me. If I skipped, I guarantee a phone call from her. She says, "Cody, where you at?" But they sung that song this morning, "Shelter." God saved me from a lot of things when He saved me. Kept me out of a lot of stuff, put me in church, and we came back to Unity, man, and I made friends there, and they encouraged me, and they supported me. God called me to preach when I was a senior in high school, and I remember being so hesitant about that. I wanted to go to college and become a great coach and get my teaching degree and everything else and do all these things. And God said, "No, I got a plan for you." I thought when I started to preach, I'd just go from place to place and maybe fill in and maybe teach Sunday school class. But man, God has took me different places. He has blessed my life. And I'm not bragging on me this morning. Realize this. I am bragging on God because I never imagined how it began. God will allow me to do the things I get to do today. But realize this. You have a story of how you got to the table. Miss Suzanne helped me in my life to pronounce words when I got up to read the scripture, I wouldn't make a mess of myself. When I got up to preach, that I wouldn't destroy every bit of work that I've put in. I've got a great pastor who encourages me, and when time comes, he rebukes me from things I've done and encourages me to help me go on. I've got friends in here this morning that help me continue go on every single day. Realize this morning, you're not by yourself. We've got a king in here this morning. He's undefeated, he's undisputed, he's never been defeated in this life, and he never will. We have a friend in here this morning who has supplied every need that we have. No matter who walks out of our lives, he's always going to walk in. Thank God we can be a servant to him. Some of us this morning, you've got some great salvation story. You say, "Brother Cody, my testimony is not as good as somebody else. I didn't get on drugs. I didn't get on alcohol." No, friend, all of our testimonies are exactly the same. We've all come through Calvary this morning. But realize this, when we make it to heaven, when we walk through those gates, when God calls us home, whether by the grave or by rapture, it's going to be because of some of God's faithful people has helped us get home. The supply of a servant. What a joy it is this morning to be in the family of God. Just want to let you know this morning, I got to the table because of the kindness of a king, the faithfulness of a friend, and the supply of a servant. Brother Billy.